Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
And so we are finishing up a four-week series called Activate, and we're in the last week. And so we spent the first 2 weeks, and I would encourage you, if you want to go online and check out this whole series, especially if you are new to the faith, or maybe you are looking to say, hey, what are some things that I can do to truly experience God in my life? And so to go back and listen to some of these messages online, and then we are finishing out with prayer. And so today we are continuing to talk about prayer and what God can do in our life. And I've entitled this message today, Prayers That Change the World. Prayers That Change the World. And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 4 in your Bibles. If you want to flip that open to there, we're also going to have it on the screens for you as well. But you can also, there in the Bible, you can check out, there's a nice table of contents, Acts, about the middle part of the Bible, and it's about the Acts of the disciples. And so the Dr. Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Acts, and we get to see those firsthand accounts, and we're going to be there in just a few moments. But how's everybody doing this morning? Doing okay? Live and well? And remember, you know, you can talk back to me. That's okay. Say, yeah, Daniel, that's good. I like that. Amen. Millen, he's always keeping me encouraged. And so I love that. Back and forth, and I just believe, I really do. Today is going to look just a little bit different, but sometimes different's okay, right? We got two incredible songs that are prayerful songs we're going to sing after the message, and we're going to take just a few moments and pray together as a church at the end of this message too, because we believe that there is power in prayer, and when we stop as a church and dive into what God wants for us. So I'm thinking, hey, if you're here maybe for the first time, you haven't been to church in a while, or maybe you're just checking this Jesus thing out, I want to encourage you to lean in and to experience what we believe and what we believe God can do inside of our lives and inside of our hearts. And so you get a chance to hear what God is doing, and maybe even experience for the first time speaking to our Creator or speaking to your Creator today. But I just want to pray for us and just ask God to bless our time, and then we're going to jump right in, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship you. We thank you for today. We know that this day we are here on purpose, not by mistake. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us wisdom, God. And I just pray that you will speak to our hearts today. I pray that this message and your word will sink into our hearts, sink into our soul, God, our mind. And I pray that you will just speak in a word of encouragement, God. I pray that you will move in a mighty way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. What if I told you that when you experience God, or maybe what if I told you that God had a purpose for your life? And maybe you've heard that before. Maybe you've thought, okay, I do believe I have purpose, and maybe I even sense a higher calling inside of my life before. But what if I told you that you have the opportunity to be used by God to change the dynamic in a good way for your family? What if I were to tell you that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, where He can speak into your life and into your heart to change where you work for the better? What if I told you that you had a purpose inside of your life and inside of your heart, that God had a vision and a plan for your life, that you can make an incredible impact not only for this generation, but for the next generation to come? I truly believe that. I believe that God is breathing that passion, breathing that vision, breathing that fire inside of our lives. But so many times we may even can sense that or sense that draw. But then if you're like me, we can have questions. We can have doubts. We can have fears, right? Real fears of, hey, if I begin to lean into this, if I start to speak up, if I start to live this out at my workplace, I believe I could face something that could either hurt me, it could cost me my job, It could cost me some friendships. It could cost me some ridicule. Like, all these things come into mind. These are real fears, aren't they? These are real things that play in our mind and play in our heart. And we're going to look at a story today in Acts chapter 4, where there is a group of early believers. And see, this is so cool. This is pretty incredible here in Acts chapter 4, because in Acts chapter 4, the early church, they have been, if you realize and understand the Bible and see the story of Scripture, that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, and while He was walking on this earth, He created this group of followers, and they called them disciples, and then later were called Christians. Christians because they became like Christ and followed Christ. And so this early church, they were used to walking with Jesus. I mean, Jesus was teaching them. We talked about last week, Matthew chapter 6. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to live his life. He radically changed their life. And then we get to the story where Jesus went back to heaven and he said, hey, now you are in charge of this mission. Now I'm going to Holy Spirit, which is God living inside of each and every believer. He said, now I'm going to work inside of you. And I love to get into like the story. I love to like dive into the Bible. Like if I were there and if I were one of these disciples, I can imagine Jesus leaving and he's going, okay, now all power and authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. And now I commission you, go, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he goes, hey, teach them to obey everything I command you and be sure of this. I will be with you. I mean, that's reassuring, but this has never happened before. I mean, the early church is leaving and now Jesus is not there and they're trying to figure this relationship out. And here and now they are in charge of spreading the gospel for the first time in this new covenant way now that Jesus is now back. And so I can imagine that there is some maybe fear. Maybe there is some like, hey, how do I play? What do we do now? Like Jesus did this, so let me just do exactly what Jesus did. And that's what they did. I mean, we see in Acts, in the early part of Acts, Peter stands up and he begins to preach. The Holy Spirit falls on them and he begins to proclaim the gospel and God draws people near to him. And we see in one day thousands of people to believe in Jesus Christ. We see that they do wondrous signs and miracles in what God is doing. And then we get to Acts chapter 4. And we have these two guys, Peter and John. You see, they were really close to Jesus. They followed with him. They walked with him hand in hand all throughout Jesus' life. And Peter, let me tell you just a little bit about Peter. He's kind of a hothead, okay? Anybody can relate to Peter? Like, he's the one who speaks first, and then he's like, oh, let me get my words back. Because, you know, he just gets excited. He's a passionate dude. Like, I can just picture him watching the Georgia game. Hey, right? No? Okay. But he's watching the game, and he's the one yelling, just chest bumping, high-fiving. He's the fireball in the group. And then you got John, who I believe is the exact opposite. Okay, this is not in scripture, but when you look at John, when he writes his account of the gospel, he even says, hey, I'm the one whom Jesus loved. Like he's like claiming like, hey, I'm the beloved. I'm the one that Jesus loves. And so it's kind of weird. He's talking to himself in third person there. But anyway, like he shares that. And John is the one that I believe is maybe a little more reserved. He actually is one of the only disciples to live a little bit further in age to where almost he can be a little older to share some of that wisdom. He gave us the book of Revelation and some books in the Bible there. But as he got older, he got to experience that. And he was one of the only disciples to stay and to be there at Jesus' feet. And if I think about John, I think about like steady, consistent. Like if you're a young girl, like this is the guy you look to date, right? Like just the not the crazy one, but like this is the steady one here, John. And so you got these two guys, they're walking through Acts, and then we get to Acts chapter 3. They come up to the synagogue, they see this man who is hurt, and they reach down. Peter says, hey, what's wrong? And he's like, can you give me some money? He's like, I got something that's better for you. And he prays over this man and he is healed. And it catches the attention of everybody. In fact, it catches the attention of the Pharisees and these religious leaders. And they get upset because literally now, after Pentecost, thousands of people have come to know Christ. So you talk about one community in close proximity. Think about Bluffton. In one day, thousands of people becoming believers in Christ. And all of a sudden, they're going back to their workplace going, I believe in this Jesus guy. I believe I'm following. Like, you should hear this. I mean, it is changing the ecosystem of this town. It's changing everything. And then a few days later, this person gets healed. He's running through the synagogue saying, look at me, Jesus healed me. These guys, Peter and John, did this. And so the Bible says that thousands more come to know Jesus. So this massive movement has happened, and the Pharisees and religious leaders did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, they called the disciples and everybody who are now Christians, they think they were committing blasphemy. And if you read the Old Testament, blasphemy was punishable by, in some cases, by death. And they would throw them into prison. And so they're trying to stop this movement that is spreading like wildfire here in the New Testament. And they take Peter, they take John, and they throw them into prison. Because they go back and they go, who's causing all of this? And they get back to fireball Peter, right? And John. and they say, hey, you're going back, and they throw them into prison. They bring them before the leaders, and they take them to court, basically, and they do this big trial thing, and they're like, well, who are you doing this on what account? And then they tell them, they say, hey, this is what I need you to realize. They tell them, they say, hey, I want you to stop. Like, stop proclaiming the gospel, or it's not going to end well for you. Like, you will go to prison, and in fact, we can even try you and punish you until death. And in fact, so many religious leaders, they're even upset, because I'm going to read here in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This is the religious people describing John and Peter. And this is so incredible. It's one of my favorite verses here. But he says here, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I mean, people observe Peter and John and go, wait a second, these dudes are fishermen. If you knew anything about Peter and John before they came to know Jesus, before they met Him, before He called them out into this lifestyle, they were fishermen. They were out on the boat making a living. They came home, their hands smelled like fish and all these different things. Like, they were fishermen, and Jesus called them out, and they were like, hang on, they didn't go through all this schooling. They didn't go through all of this. How is this happening? But then something happened. It says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus, that their time with Jesus changed their life dramatically. Their time with Jesus took them from common, ordinary, uneducated, in the margins of society, like overlooked, took them from that moment to this revival happening, world shaking. Now, and 2,000 years later, we are seeing the gospel still proclaimed in a mighty way, because these guys right here believed God at His word and said, hey, I'm going to live out the gospel. And God used them. And I believe that is what Jesus can do with your life. It's what He can do with my life. And I believe that He has a purpose and a vision for our lives, that it is so big that He has to just give it to us in layers sometimes. That you may think, hey, I believe God wants me to make this step. And it's kind of bold for me. I take that step. And He's like, hey, here's another step. Here's another step. I want you to follow me. I want you to spend more time with me. And as we take those steps, we see God move in an incredible way. And so now they've been arrested. They are released. And Peter and John go back. I ain't even got to the thing yet. Y'all still with me? I ain't even got to the main bulk. I'm just getting excited today. But Acts chapter 4, John and Peter, they are now, they let them go free because they bring the guy up and they say, hey, what's going on? Tell us about what happened. What happened? And the guy stands up and he goes, well, you know what? I'm not really sure about Peter and John. I'm not really sure about your laws. I'm not really sure about everything that's happening right now. But all I can tell you is that now I am healed. All I can tell you is that whatever they spoke into me, now I am healed. My life is, I can't tell you about everything else, but I can tell you about this person they say is Jesus. They spoke in His name, and now I am healed. And so He gives this testimony, this peace. He doesn't know everything about everything. He doesn't have all Scripture memorized. He barely even has now started to believe in Jesus. And He steps up and goes, hey, I can just tell you what Jesus has done in my life. I can just tell you how He has healed me. And so He shares this, and finally they say, well, there's nothing really that we want to do. Do not speak of Jesus again. Do not speak of, they tell them, it's very clear in Scripture. You go back and read in Acts chapter 4, but do not. And so they were released. And then this is where we pick up, that John and Peter go back to the followers of Christ, and who are meeting in homes now, because they're trying to make this church thing work. So they're just meeting in homes. They're singing together. They're diving into the Word together. It's almost like a bunch of small groups, but you got to remember, there are thousands now. Thousands of people meeting all over, everywhere, and they're trying to meet. And I'm sure they're like, man, this is a growth church strategy. Like, where are we going to meet? How are we going to do this? All this is trying to happen here. And Peter and John go back to the believers. And this is where we pick up here in Acts chapter 4. It's pretty incredible to see here. And so as we dive in, Acts chapter 4, verse 23, if you're still with me, say amen. Amen. And it starts here. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends, the Christians there, and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them, which they said, hey, this is what it is. You do not need to speak of it again. And then And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, and so they stop. Peter and John come together and they say, hey, this is what just has happened. And they told us to stop proclaiming the gospel. And so what their response first is to stop and to lift their voices up to God. And so as the Bible says that, that means they are praying, they are speaking, they are communicating to God. They are coming before God here in this prayer. And so we here at the Bridge Church, one of our bridge code, kind of like part of our DNA, is we respond in prayer. When something happens, adversity, trials, celebrations, whatever it is, our response is first prayer. We want to go before God in prayer. We want to give it to Him. We want to say, God, hey, number one, thank you for your blessing. God, thank you for what you were doing. Or God, this is what's going on in my life. It's so hard right now. I don't think I can get through it, but I'm casting my care onto you. And this is what the early church is doing here. And then they go in and they start to pray. And this is what I love about Scripture, because as you're reading Scripture, Scripture will interpret Scripture. And so we look here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches them how to pray. And then we get in Acts chapter 4, and they start praying the way that Jesus taught them how to pray. They look back and go, well, let me just do what Jesus did. And so they start to pray. They say, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do what your plan had predestined to take place. And they start in the prayer here. And they start declaring. We talked about DSA last week. And the D stands for declaring God's greatness. They start declaring His greatness. And then they go, hey, God, this is what's going on. Like, they are attacking us. God, they are coming against you. God, they are coming against the gospel. They're trying to stop us. They are facing persecution. And this is, I just want to stop here because I thought this was important. Because some of us may have came to know Christ here recently. Or maybe we just started following Christ. And you're like, oh, this is going to be so good. God's going to speak into my life and everything's going to get so much better. And maybe for you it hasn't gotten better, but it's maybe the struggle has even intensified. And I just wanted to encourage you today that we see these early followers of Christ, thousands of people coming to know Christ, and now they're facing persecution. And now they're realizing, like, hey, they don't want this to happen. And there is an enemy out there who does not want you to find your purpose in Christ. He wants to stop you at whatever cost he can, using any kind of people to speak discouragement and saying, hey, you're just common. You can't do it. God can't use you. You remember your past. Like, God cannot use you, and there's an enemy that wants you to stop. And when we first come to know Christ, I even think the enemy is like, ooh, I got to get them while they're in that infant stage. Because if I can stop them now before they are fully formed and can grow more and more like Christ, and how they know how to defend themselves in Scripture, and he comes at us hard. And you may feel that trial, but I'm here to encourage you to say, if you feel the pressure and the trials of the enemy trying to stop you or maybe even slow you down, I would be encouraged. Because that means he sees something in you that is worth stopping. He sees something in you and in your life. He's like, I better stop this person. Because if the Holy Spirit gets in them and God starts using them in incredible ways, like, not only is their life going to be impacted, but the next generation will be impacted. And then the next generation will be impacted. And then the next generation will be impacted. The people at their workplace will be impacted. Like, I better stop them now. And so you and I can look at that. Because in 2 weeks, we're getting ready to start a brand new series called Take Heart and how to overcome a lot of those things that God is speaking into our life. And I believe that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And you have power to overcome that. But don't get into trials. Don't get into those moments of opposition and get discouraged. You almost get one of those like fighter smirks on your face and going, okay, now God is trying to stop me. I'm going to go back to God's Word. I'm going to go back to what Jesus had for me, and I'm going to speak this into my life. And God, I'm going to keep moving forward because I believe You have an incredible plan, an incredible purpose for my life. And God, You have restored me. You have forgiven me of my sins. You have brought me here today, and now maybe I'm clean. Now maybe I'm hopeful. Now maybe You've restored my marriage. God, maybe whatever it is, we look back and go, God, I know where You have brought me from, and I am set free, and I'm going to keep moving towards that in incredible ways. And so I just wanted to stop and encourage us in that moment, because the early church were facing severe persecution. But even in that trial, even in that persecution, they still went forward. And so after, this is where I want to get here. In verse 29, this part of their prayer, because Peter and John were just arrested and said, hey, this is not going to end well for you. Like, stop talking about Jesus. Like you cannot do this anymore. We will try to stop you at all costs. And they go back and they begin to pray. And I don't know about you, but if it were me, I don't know if I would be praying like this. But let me just show you the faith and the mentality of the early church. And I believe that their prayers that we're reading right here is one of the big reasons that God has used them to spread the gospel to where we are here today in 2019. And the gospel went from this one area in the map and in the globe, and it spread like wildfire all throughout the world. And this prayer began to change the world right there, right here. And it says, and now, I love that, and now, Lord. There's transition a little bit. They declare God's greatness. They said, hey, this is what we need. And now they continue to go forward and say, God, hey, I'm acknowledging my dependence on You, and this is what we need from you. It says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant Your servants to continue to speak Your word with all, what? Boldness, while You stretch out Your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of Your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So they were faced with opposition, threatened with their lives and imprisonment, and they get back and they go, okay, this is what's in front of us. Let's get together. Let's pray. For some reason, I go to like a football huddle, so like, you know, I'm getting down like a huddle. They're getting there like, okay, we need to pray. And if I'm praying, I'm probably like, God, can You protect us? Can You help us? And those prayers are not bad. Please don't let me say that. But their faith and their heart and their struggle is, God, they're trying to stop us and they're trying to make us close our mouths. But God, but will You fill us with supernatural boldness? And in fact, God, we don't want to have to do all the work, and we're just common men, common women who have just come to started to follow You. So God, can You intervene? If we speak Your name, can You heal people? If we speak Your name into and we begin to pray, God, can You move in people's lives, God? Can You move inside of their heart? Can You restore? Can You redeem? Can You grant freedom? And all of a sudden, all the pressure, their evangelism strategy is to respond in prayer. I mean, everything about their life is saying, hey, I believe that I can start right now, and I'm going to pray to You, God. And now that You have changed my life, God, I'm praying that You'll change theirs and use me as Your vessel. I don't know all the words, God, but I'm going to speak Your name, and I'm just going to start praying for people to be healed. I'm just going to start praying for people to be restored. God, I'm just going to start praying for You to move and take the weight and the pressure off of me and put it on You, God, because You are powerful. You are sovereign. It is Your plan that is coming to pass. It is Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. And I believe that, and I want You to use me to speak Your words, God. And I believe that this is a powerful way to view life. And it takes so much pressure off of You. It takes so much pressure off of me. When we were at our previous church, we loved to do prayer walks. Because for me, especially if you first come to know Christ, one of the best things you can start to do is to start to pray, not only to communicate with God, but start to pray for somebody else. Like, hey, I don't really know what to say. I don't know how to share the gospel. But what I can do is go to my neighbor and go, hey, I'm praying for you. Oh, hey, I heard you had a rough week. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm just going to let you know I'm praying for you, okay? If you need anything, let me know. If you've got any prayer requests, I'm praying for you. And all of a sudden, the doorway is opened for them to know that, hey, you have a faith in a higher being in Christ. And I truly believe as we start to pray, God starts to move and things will begin to happen in their life and in our life. And back out, I kind of sidetrack here, ADD moment. But we go and we love to do prayer walks. And there was a big mall where we were, and we would go do prayer walks and just hang out with people. And we had some of our youth that were with us, and some of the lady leaders were there. My wife was there, and I love telling a story about my wife whenever I can. But so she's going, and my wife is such an incredibly godly woman, and she serves in kids a lot. And so you don't really see her in action, and but she's loving on those babies. But we were walking through this mall, and I could tell a lot of the kids were nervous, and I mean, I was nervous. You know, we're walking around the mall, and I'm just like, okay, let me show you. And so I would go up and just, you know, talk to certain people, like, hey, sir, this kind of sounds kind of crazy, but we're praying. Can we pray for anything for you? And I remember the first guy I stopped. I think God was just trying to build my courage up. He stopped and he said, for real? I said, yeah. We're just walking around praying. He goes, for real? He's just walking around praying, like, for real? I'm like, yes, sir. I was like, you want me to pray for you? Anything we can pray? He's like, for real? I'm like, yes, I pray, yeah, for real. This is what we're doing. And he goes, man, I think I'm about to lose my job. My daughters wanted to come shop, so I'm letting them walk around and shop. He's like, but I don't really know what to do. And then, of course, I threw him a curb. I'm like, can I pray for you right now? Like, just real quick. And he's like, yes, please. So I got a chance to pray for him and just pray that God would move in a situation. I never even seen him again, never met him again, but I got a chance just to share a little bit of hope. And then after that, I probably got about 30 no's. But even just that one moment, that one guy, I believe that God said, hey, this is what has happened. And then I was walking downstairs and I was debriefing with some of our kids, and they were like, this lady was telling me she had just been diagnosed with cancer and we just prayed over her. I'm like, wow, like that had just happened. And so they're praying for them. And then I'm walking downstairs and I look up, and this memory is like etched in my mind. And I look up and I see my wife and these couple other girls, and they're standing in a prayer circle, like in the middle of the mall, in a prayer circle, holding hands. And I just see them praying. And there's this big man. I'm talking about, he's like big, like 6'5". He's got long hair. He's muscular. He's just a big dude. And he's standing in a circle. And they're like praying. Like, he's like swaying. Like, you know, he's like, they're like this upstairs in the middle of the mall. And they are just getting it, praying. And I see that. But I'm downstairs and I see it. And I'm just like, man, that is incredible. And they come back and they're like, you won't believe it. He tried to pay us. He tried to like give us off. Like, he just thought this was the coolest thing ever. And in that moment, I realized, I was like, wow, like all this little small group of people, of common ordinary people, turned into these street evangelists. But what they did is, all they did was just pray. They just said, hey, can we pray for you anything? And they began to pour out. And then we said, okay, let's pray. I can't do anything, but I know somebody who can. Like, I don't have the power to heal you. I don't have the power to change you. But prayer becomes the catalyst for life change. And I believe God can use you in incredible ways, in the Bridge Church, in powerful ways, when you and I stop and surrender ourselves and say, God, I am going to pray to you. I'm going to surrender to you. I believe you can do anything and everything. And God, I want to give that prayer to you, because I believe you and I can continue to pray bold prayers. The early church stops and says, hey, God, can you give us boldness? Can you give us boldness? And I remember reading that. I was like, wow, I can pray for boldness. Like, I can pray for strength. I can pray for those things. And God is saying, yes, come before me. Because when we pray bold prayers lead to bold actions. And God says, hey, I'm going to give you what you need. And I want you just to get a small taste of how I can use you and how I can use you in incredible ways. And God is saying, trust me in it. Trust me in it. And so the first thing I'm going to end the message here. And I want to stop, and I wanted just to have a few moments where we're going to take about 5 minutes, and Stefan's going to come up and he's going to get ready to lead us in this next song. But before he leads us in this next song, he's just going to kind of play some music for us. And I just felt God as I was studying for this message, and I even had like conversations throughout the week that just said, hey, what if we just do some like intentional prayer time? And so we're just going to stop for about 5 minutes, because I believe God wants to do something incredible inside of your life. And before God wants to use you to change the world, He wants to change your world first. You see, He took these fishermen, Peter and John. They were fishing on a boat, trying to make a living, trying to do whatever they can. They were like, hey, I'm just going to take over my dad's business. I'm going to get other fleets of boats, and I'm going to make this thing grow, and we're going to make it out here. We're going to move in to fish. And all of a sudden, that Jesus interrupts their regular scheduled program, right? And He walks up and He says, hey, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to have you do incredible things. And they're like, I'm just this common, ordinary, uneducated man. And Jesus goes, I know, and I'm going to get all the glory for it, because I'm going to use you in incredible ways. And they start to follow Jesus. And they go from ordinary, uneducated men to literal world changers. And they begin to pray. They start with prayer. They believe in what God can do. They take Him at His word. And if you read Scripture, it's not like they go out and all of a sudden God uses them to do just these amazing things. They start taking one step. Okay, God, I'm going to let You change my life first. I'm going to let You heal me first. God, forgive my sins first. God, I surrender. I'm going to follow You. And now that I follow You, God, my life is Your life. Okay, so my life is Your life. God, You want me to pray for that person? I will. Okay, I'm not real sure, but I'm going to do it. I'm at least just going to ask Him, hey, is there anything I pray for You about? God, because it's Your plan, it's Your will. I don't know what to do, but it's Your power that is going to work within me. And then I read this verse in Exodus 34. And I was in my devotion time with God. And Jesus is speaking to the Israelites, the Jewish people. And He's setting up all these new covenants of the Old Testament with His people. And then He speaks a word into them. And I read it. I'm like, God, I think we can see this today. God, I think that You can still move the way that You moved then, now that even in a more incredible way, because the Holy Spirit's in each and every believer. This is what God speaks into His people. He says, the Lord replied, listen, I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation, and all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. I believe this. The Holy Spirit began just to grip my heart this week. I couldn't get this verse off my mind. I just had to stop as soon as I read that, and I said, God, can You do that today in 2019? And if You need a willing vessel, God, use me. I know there's people at the Bridge Church who are saying, hey, we want to see this. Whatever, God, use us as Your vessel, because I believe we can see something the world has never seen before. That when God places His hand down on a place, nothing can stop it. Revival can break out. Marriages can be restored. Addictions can be broken. And we can see a mighty move of God in 2019 in incredible ways. But it takes you and I going, God, use me. I surrender my will. I go out of this place on Sundays, woo, and now I'm on mission. I don't know everything. I don't have it all together. God, I'm just going to start directing them to You. I'm just going to start connecting them to You every day. Your will be done, God. How can I pray for You? How can I pray for You? And so we got a couple people, and I'm going to invite them to come down, because I believe God wants us to pray specifically and intentionally. And sometimes I know at the beginning of the year, the first Sunday of the year, I said, hey, we're going to be a praying church. And I believe that. We're going to continue that theme, because I believe we can still see that in 2019. But we're just going to take about 3-4 minutes. Stefan's not going to start singing yet. And I want to invite you to pray with us. I'm going to stand kind of on the side and in the back. We got Jason's going to be up here. Brad's going to be up here. Amanda, Chrissy's going to be up here. And so we got just a few people. My encouragement is, if you got something in your life that you want prayed over, maybe it could not be anything about you. Maybe you want to start saying, hey, today I'm going to start praying for my neighbors. I got my neighbor's name, and you want to go and say, hey, Jason, can you pray for my neighbor? This is his name. This is her name. This is their family's name. They're going through a rough time. Let's pray together, because I believe God will start to do incredible things when we stop and we take him at his word and we begin to pray and to lean in to what God is doing. And so there's a couple people in the back room, in front of the room, as you feel led during these next 3 or 4 moments, or maybe it's for you. Maybe we can stop and just say, hey, God, can you give me boldness to say this, to speak this, God? God, can you give me encouragement? Maybe you're just feeling drained in this moment. You're in a season of trials and you're saying, God, just can you use my trial? And this, I truly believe, God will use every ounce of your pain and your trial and your valley for his glory. And I believe it 100%. Or maybe today you want to surrender your life to Christ and you're saying, hey, for the first time, God, I give you my life, and we want to pray over and with you. Or maybe you don't have, maybe like I said, you just want to pray and say, God, I want to grow spiritually. I want to grow in his word. Or maybe it's not even about you, but it's about your neighbor. It's about your coworker. Or maybe you just want to say, hey, I want to see Exodus 34 in Bluffton, South Carolina. I want to see God's hand move. I want to see people drawing near to God on an incredible basis. So whatever it is, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to pray. When I say amen, I just want to invite you, if you want to, maybe you want to pray at your seat, but I encourage you, if you want somebody to pray over you, pray in your life, because I think there's power. I know there's power. Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am with them. There's power when we get together and when we pray. So I want to invite you in this moment. Let's pray together. God, we love you and thank you. God, thank you for your son, Jesus, who set Daniel Cazenet free, who set people free in this room, God. Oh, you are so mighty. God, and you love us so much. I pray that you will stir inside of our hearts, God. I pray the Holy Spirit will draw us near to you, God. And I pray we'll surrender to your will. I pray that you'll give us boldness right now to be prayed over. And that maybe you're calling some people that are here today to pray over somebody else. And I just pray that you allow this moment of prayer, God. I pray that you bless this time together. And I pray that we continue to be devoted to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to pray together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.